Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah. If you'd like to join along in your pew Bible or in your own Bible, Isaiah chapter 54, beginning with verse 5. Before we read, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, your word is our only rule for faith and life. By your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, strengthen us that our hearts may be free from all worldly things, so that we might hear and receive your word, and in it recognize your gracious will for us, and that we may love and serve you with delight, glorifying you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 54, beginning with verse 5. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. Today we reach the end of Paul's letter to the Galatians. The end of Paul's letter to the churches that he knew and loved. The end of Paul's letter to brothers and sisters in Christ that he knew and loved. Now, Paul wrote this letter to these churches because he was concerned. If you remember, teachers and preachers had arrived at these churches in Galatia, and they were promoting a distorted gospel. They were promoting a twisted gospel. Paul calls it a false gospel. Rather than the simple message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, these preachers and teachers taught that in order to be a Christian, you had to be circumcised. You had to follow the law. In other words, they taught that in order to be a follower of Jesus, you first had to be a Jew. Now, throughout this entire letter of Galatians, and in a variety of ways, Paul has been saying, no, 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 no. No. That's slavery. Paul keeps saying, you are free in Jesus. You are free from sin in Jesus. You are free from death in Jesus. You are free from the law in Jesus. Paul's saying, don't go back there. Don't go back to slavery. Now, these last few verses that we're going to read, written in Paul's own hand, these last few verses offer a 1-2 punch summary to conclude his argument to this letter. Galatians 6, beginning with verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Paul's first punch that he delivers, directed toward these teachers and preachers, is found in verse 12. Let's look at verse 12 again. Paul writes, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." Now, Paul is saying that they are preaching circumcision. They are teaching circumcision. They are trying to force circumcision so that they won't be persecuted, so that they won't be oppressed, so that they won't be abused, so that they won't be harassed for the cross of Christ, for following Jesus. Now, Christians have and Christians continue to be persecuted all over the world. All over the world. In the early decades of the church, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, Christians were persecuted. They were certainly persecuted by Rome, but Christians were also persecuted by Jews. Now, remember, Paul himself was a Jew who oppressed, who abused, who harassed followers of Jesus. Now, the book of Acts recounts how Paul would drag Christians from their homes and throw them in prison. Paul thought that Christians were blasphemers. Paul thought that Christians were heretics. He thought that they were falsely worshiping a man until he met Jesus, the God-man. Now, these preachers, these teachers who were proclaiming circumcision, who were proclaiming the law in Galatia, they were Jews who followed Jesus. They were Jews who received Jesus as the promised Messiah, as the Son of God. Now, normally, Jews maintained strict boundaries with Gentiles. They desired as much separation as possible from non-Jews. For example, Jews did not eat with Gentiles. They didn't share table fellowship with Gentiles. And the reason is that they considered Gentiles unclean. They were outside of God's covenant people. However, if Gentiles accepted the law, if non-Jews accepted the law, if they became circumcised, if they received the sign of circumcision, then those boundaries were removed. Jews would gladly welcome Gentiles into fellowship then. So for these Jewish Christians who were teaching circumcision in Galatia and preaching it in Galatia, if their fellow Gentile believers, if their fellow Gentile Christians were circumcised and did place themselves under the law, then they would have nothing to fear from other Jews. They wouldn't have to fear harassment or persecution or abuse from other Jews. It would go like this. When their fellow Jews would ask them, "Why are you worshiping with Gentiles? Why are you eating with Gentiles? Why are you sharing table fellowship with Gentiles? Why are you fraternizing with non-Jews?" They could rightly say, "Hey, they're not just Gentiles. They've been circumcised. They're under the law. They're just like us. Just like us now." But notice in this scenario what's being emphasized. And this is what Paul is pointing out. What's being emphasized is circumcision. What's being emphasized is the law. That's the emphasis. That's the priority. Not Jesus Christ. Not the crucified Son of God. They could talk with their fellow Jews and they could emphasize what they had in common and minimize Jesus, and diminish the cross, thereby avoiding persecution, thereby avoiding abuse and harassment for the cross of Christ. for Jesus. Now, we face the same challenge, just in a completely different way. Now, granted, Mississippi is still different from other parts of our country, but there is certainly a growing, or perhaps it's simply a more emboldened antipathy, even hostility in our culture toward Christianity. So that being the case, here's what we are tempted to do, both as individuals and as churches. We are tempted to uplift what we have in common. We are tempted to emphasize what is prevalent and accepted in the wider culture. For example, inclusive? Yes. We're inclusive. Our church doors are open wide to anyone. The gospel is for everyone. It's true. Tolerance? Yes, we are tolerant. We respect everybody. We should respect everybody. Justice? Yes, we want justice. God is, after all, just, and one day God will make all things right. Now, we can emphasize those things. We can concentrate on those things and potentially avoid persecution or harassment or abuse. We can say, see, we Christians are no different from you. No different at all. But in doing so, we can minimize, depending on how we do it, we can minimize the gospel. We can minimize Jesus. We can diminish the cross. And it becomes a different gospel. It becomes a false gospel. The church is inclusive. Our doors are open wide to everyone. But when you receive Jesus, when you follow Jesus, he has an exclusive claim over your life. He has an exclusive claim over your life. You'll have to deny yourself. You'll have to die to yourself. We are tolerant. We do respect all. We respect all, but tolerance is only one aspect of love. One aspect of love. Love also requires truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus has revealed to us our sins. He's revealed to us that we're not okay, that we are alienated from God, that we are broken, that we are dead, that we need a Savior. That we need him. We are for justice. God is just, and that justice also applies to us. God's justice for our sin means that we deserve death. But Jesus met the demands of God's justice for us, for you, on the cross. He died so that you might live. It all goes back to him. It's all centered on him. It's all about him. Now, Paul knew what it meant to be persecuted. He says these teachers are trying to avoid persecution. Paul knew what it meant to be persecuted. He knew what it meant to suffer for his faith. And he reminds the Galatians in verse 17. Listen to verse 17 again. Paul says, "I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." Now, the word mark that Paul uses here, it's a word that means a brand that was placed on a slave. Paul had physical marks on his body. He had injuries on his body. He had scars on his body showing that he belonged to Jesus. While preaching the gospel, Paul had suffered. Paul had been stoned, he had been beaten, he had been shipwrecked, he had been in chains for Jesus Christ, for the gospel. Now that's Paul's first punch. He throws a second punch in verse 13, and the second punch is really like a 1-2 combo, the second punch. Look at verse 13 again, verse 13. "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Paul says they want you to be circumcised. They want you to be under the law, but they don't even keep the law. They want you to be under the law, but they don't keep the law. They can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. We can't keep the law. Nobody can keep the law. That's a jab. And then comes the straight. Paul says they only want Galatians to be circumcised so that they can boast. So that they can avoid persecution and can boast. In other words, Paul's saying these teachers, these preachers, what do they want? They want success. They want to brag. They want to make a show. They want to make a name for themselves by counting converts. We had 50 circumcisions last month. We expect 20 more next month. They were trying to brag. Paul is saying they are not interested in transformed life in Jesus Christ. They are not interested in growing in the faith in Jesus Christ. What do they want? They want numbers. They want numbers. And it's a good thing that after 2,000 years, we've moved beyond such things, isn't it? Unfortunately, you know it still happens. We want to succeed. We want our church to succeed. We want growth. We want numbers. We want people and dollars. We want to boast in our success. Pastors want to make a name for themselves. But this is true not only in the church. It's true in the church. But it's also true for any field, any profession, any area of your life. We want to succeed. We want to be able to boast in what we've accomplished, what we have done in our education, in our career, in our family, by what we have done with our two hands. And here's what Paul says. Look at verse 14 again. Paul says, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul says it shouldn't be about us, but about the cross. It shouldn't be about us, but about Jesus. Without the cross, we are lost and dead. Without Jesus Christ, we are lost and dead. Any success that we have in life, any success that you have in life or have had in life is from Him and through Him and because of Him and for Him. Now, think about Paul. Paul had all kinds of reasons to boast. Paul had met the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had healed people in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul had cast out demons. He had brought hundreds and hundreds of people to Jesus. He had baptized new Christians. He had planted churches all over the place. He had raised up and trained leaders in those churches. But he says he'll boast in none of it. None of it. Paul did not want a name for himself. He didn't want his name to be exalted. He wanted the name of Jesus to be exalted. He wanted the cross to be exalted. Paul emphasizes the cross. He emphasizes the cross in his other letters in the New Testament. Now the cross does not have the same effect as it did when Paul wrote this letter. It doesn't have the same effect today as when Paul wrote this letter. And we see crosses all the time. We see them in buildings. We see them on buildings. We see them on books. We see them around necklaces or on ears. So much so that we don't even think about it too much of the time. Now, in Paul's day, the cross was absolutely offensive. Absolutely offensive. It was a symbol of suffering. It was a symbol of cruelty. It was a symbol of defeat. It was a symbol of death. Certainly nothing to celebrate in. Certainly nothing to boast about. But through the cross, through suffering, through cruelty, through defeat, through death, God Almighty conquered. God was victorious over over darkness. He was victorious over evil. He was victorious over sin. He was victorious over death. Through this offensive symbol, God saved you and me. In the cross, God revealed his steadfast love, his steadfast sacrificial love. In the cross, God revealed his heart for you. Therefore, Paul could boast in it and nothing else. You can boast in it and nothing else. For without it, we are nothing, but through it, we are free. Free. Now, finally, Paul says this in verse 15. Look at that verse again. Verse 15. Paul says, "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." Now, ultimately and finally, Paul says circumcision doesn't matter. Uncircumcision doesn't matter. They don't count for anything. That's all exterior. That's all on the outside. That's all on the surface. What Paul says, what counts, Paul says, is what happens on the inside. What counts is what happens in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your will. That's what counts. What counts, Paul says, is that you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. That you're given new life in Jesus Christ. That you're made new by the Holy Spirit. That you are transformed by the Holy Spirit. Now, another word for that is regeneration. Regeneration. Regeneration is when the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to your own sinfulness. Regeneration is what happens when the Holy Spirit allows you to see the beauty of Jesus, the beauty of the cross. Regeneration is when the Holy Spirit softens your heart of stone, leading to faith in Jesus and repentance from sin. But the Spirit also makes you new in changing your affections and changing your desires and changing your will and changing your habits. So that this inward change, this inward transformation is lived out, inside out, day in and day out. Paul says that's what matters. That you're a new creation in Jesus. It doesn't matter that somebody's a circumcised Jew or an uncircumcised Gentile or any other exterior or sign and mark. It's that you have real change through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're here this morning and you have not experienced this transformation, this new creation, ask. Ask the Father to change you from the inside out. Ask the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. Through Jesus, through the cross. And we're going to end our study of this letter with Paul's word. His final words to the Galatians in verse 18. And these words are also for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your Son, and we give you thanks for the cross. We give you thanks that through the cross you have conquered, that you have shown your great love for us. We give you thanks for your Spirit that makes us new, that creates us new. Father, you have blessed us richly, and we certainly don't deserve it. But we offer you our thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.